Narada Chayakunjabihari. That's good. Chayavada Narada Chaya Kunja Bihari Sati Chana Balaba Chaya Shreva Nari Chaya Shreva Nari Sati Chana Balaba Chaya Shri Gara Dhari Chaya Shri Gara Dhari Sadananda Chaya Sadachanarandana Sadananda Sajjanarayana Yamanate Avanachari Jaya Kunjabihari Jaya Kunjari Hari Yamana Chira Dana Chari Chaya Kunjabi Hari Chaya Kunjabi Hari Sayada Marada Chaya Kunjabi Hari Sayada Marada Chaya Kunjabi Hari Sati Chana Balaba Chaya Shri Gara Dhari Chaya Shri Gara Dhari Sati Chana Balaba
Shri Advaita Gadara, Shri Vatsari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopana, Shamakana Radha Kanda Giri Gaur Gurayan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Maya Puram Ki Jai, Ganga Maya Jumanaya Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki, Gopremandi, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, Text Number 8. Mahara Vastrabha Vastrabharana Kanchu Koshnisha Bhushita Gopa Samaya Yurajan Nanopayana Panaya Mahaha Vastrabharana Kanchu Krishnisha Bhushita Gopa Samaya Yurajan Nanopayana Panaya Mahaha Vastrabharana Kanchu Krishnisha Bhushita Gopa Samaya Yurajan Nanopayana Panaya Vastra Abharana, with garments and ornaments. Kanchuka, by a particular type of garment used in Vrindavan. Ushnisha, with turbans. Bhushitaha, being nicely dressed. Gopa, all the cowherd men. Samayayu came there. Rajan, O King, Maharaj Pariksit. Nana, various upayana, presentations. Panaya, holding in their hands. Translation. O King Pariksit, the cowherd men dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approach the house of Nanda Maharaj. Please repeat, O King Parikshit.
O King Parikshit.
The cowherd men dressed very opulently. With valuable ornaments and garments such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approach the house of Nanda Maharaj. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When we consider the past condition of the agriculturalist in the village, we can see how opulent he was, simply because of agricultural produce and protection of cows. At the present, however, agriculture having been neglected and cow protection given up, the agriculturalist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in a niggardly torn cloth. Does anyone know what niggardly means? Niggardly? In the dictionary, it says it means stingy. So it means very poor, not very opulent. This is a distinction between the India of history and the India at the present day. By the atrocious activities, does any of the children know what atrocious means? Any of you? Raise your hands if you know what atrocious means. Don't be afraid. Okay, anyone know? Atrocious means, where is it? I can't see. Okay, what does it mean? Mad? Almost. Good attempt. It just means horrible, demoniac, nightmarish. Atrocious means just bad, bad, bad. By the atrocious activities of Ugra Kama, does anyone of the kids know what Ugra Kama means? Ugra Kama. Does anyone know what karma means? Karma. Okay, what does karma mean? Karma means good or bad things that happen to you, right? So Ugra means very bad things. Ugra Kama means activities that bring you some very bad karma, ugra. How are we killing the opportunity of human civilization? Do any of the kids know what civilization means? Civilization? Civilization means human beings live in a way according to certain principles and for the benefit of the welfare of the world. Civilized human beings. Of course, nowadays people aren't very civilized because they kill innocent cows and eat them, so that is not civilized. Of course, the civilized men of the modern age think they're very civilized, and the people that lived in the villages, because they didn't have nice motor cars, they were very uncivilized. But they don't know what real civilization is. Real civilization means cow protection and Brahminical culture. So that's the end of the purport. So I was going to read a lot of things today. I hope nobody minds, because, and I didn't choose this verse, but I guess Yuga Kishore chose it for me. I don't know. Maybe it was just an accident. But anyway, since I believe in cow protection very strongly, and I think that it's very important, I've selected a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada did talk extensively about cow protection, and Vedic culture means cow protection, and Brahmins. So the cows and the Brahmins are very dear to Krishna, and the cows are very valuable. So here a few things Prabhupada said. This is a lecture Sri Prabhupada gave in Hawaii, January 15th, 1974. So if you get milk products, milk, then you can prepare so many preparations full of vitamins which will nourish your brain. Dull brain cannot understand what is spiritual knowledge. Therefore, that Dr. Bernard Shaw, he wrote a book. Perhaps you know it, you are what you eat. If you keep your brain dull, then how can you understand? Because without becoming a very intelligent man, one cannot become Krishna consciousness. That is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna ye bhaje se bhara chatura. One who takes the Krishna consciousness seriously and perfectly, he must be very, very intelligent. Dull brain cannot accept it. So we have to make our brain very clean. And for that purpose, you require to drink not very much, at least 1 pound or 1/2 pound milk daily. That is essential. And then, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam Purport, 117.3. The next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. The great rishis and munis would live only on milk. Srila Sukadeva Goswami would go to a householder while the householder was milking a cow, and he would simply take a little quantity of it for subsistence. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive a sadhu of a quart or two of milk, and every householder would give milk like water. For a follower of Vedic principles, it is the duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. The cow's milk is required for the sacrificial fire, and by performing sacrifices, the householder can be happy. The cow's calf not only is beautiful to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow, and so she delivers as much milk as possible. But in the Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for purposes which may not be mentioned in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The cow stands with tears in her eyes. The sudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially. And when there is no milk, the cow is sent to be slaughtered. These greatly sinful acts are responsible for all the troubles in present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. The influence of Kali will keep them in the darkness of ignorance. Despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cows and the bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy, but it is a fact by the laws of nature. So, this is very important information, that to understand Krishna consciousness, one needs to have a fresh supply of milk. Unfortunately, most devotees don't get the opportunity to buy fresh milk from protected cows. And from my experience, having protected cows, it doesn't seem that a lot of devotees are that interested, to be honest, which is very sad. And, you know, no criticism of anybody, but I'm very surprised personally that when we have protected cows, one would think that devotees would want to buy that milk, knowing very well that other milk from other cows, those cows are slaughtered in a very merciless way. So this is hard for me to understand. But anyway, we all have a duty as devotees to try and bring about the culture that Srila Prabhupada wanted. So this culture is the Vedic culture. And the Vedic culture is the culture that Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, he protected cows. Krishna himself, he was a cowherd boy. Krishna came to demonstrate the ideal life of a human being. The ideal life of a human being is living close to the land, living on the mercy of nature, protecting cows, using bulls. And because modern man has neglected this type of lifestyle, therefore there were so many problems. And this began pretty much when the Kali Yuga began, when King Parikshit found Kali trying to kill a bull. So at that time, King Parikshit, he was protecting the bull, because the bull represents religious principles. And therefore, devotees, we also should protect cows and bulls. And it's not enough to be very learned in all the scriptures. It doesn't mean so much if we cannot practically implement the Vedic scriptures into a practical lifestyle. That we have to somehow or other use our intelligence, not just for giving seminars or classes, but for showing people how to live. Because this is what devotees are known for. We preach by example, as Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur, that some people, they practice, but they don't preach. Some people preach, but they don't practice. But you're ideal because you practice what you preach. And I'm not saying I'm ideal because I have cows, but I don't want to support dairies where the cows are slaughtered. From a very young age, the calves are separated from the mother and slaughtered very mercilessly. So that's what we're doing. Basically, when we buy milk from Kami dairies, we're supporting this modern type of demoniac culture, which gradually has become more proliferated by the introduction of the Industrial Revolution. When the Industrial Revolution began, at that time, then agriculture became commercialized. It became business. Until that time, agriculture was a natural kind of lifestyle for everybody. All over the world, people lived by growing food. Even in America, in this country, 200 years ago, even 100 years ago, practically everybody lived on a farm. Now people, they want to sell their farms, they want to actually go live in a city. We see that in Mumbai, of course, the British had a lot to do with it, because the British, they introduced cow killing. And so gradually now, cows are seen as objects for making money. They're not respected as cows are supposed to be respected. Cows are very valuable. I have a very interesting book here. It's called Agriculture and Animal Husbandry in the Vedas. And it talks a lot about the importance of the cow. And it was impossible to think of practicing agriculture in India without having good cattle. Holdings of small agricultural practices where old-fashioned marketing of produce continued to be done with bullock carts. They provided the required motive power for various agricultural operations under irrigation. So now, of course, we go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is supposed to be the holy dam. And we see that whereas Karma Rupa Babu, he's interested in protecting cows. He has 2 acres of land for about 100 cows. Generally, cows need 1 acre each to be healthy and happy. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, right down the road, there's a golfing community where there's probably 50 acres of land which is being used for ignorant people to play golf. So this is the modern civilization. It's a sick, sick civilization. And when we buy milk from commercial dairies, we're supporting this whole concept. So, you know, it's very important to figure out a way. Like here in Alachua, there is a way that we could circumvent this practice. That if the devotees were very serious and understood the meaning of what they're doing, because I don't know if devotees don't get karma for buying milk from commercial dairies. I'm not convinced they don't. Because basically, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was present on this planet, he was traveling around and they didn't really have a lot of farms with cows giving milk. When Prabhupada was on his deathbed, he was coming to America to show how the people to live off the land. He was on his way to Gita Nagari to sit down when he was 82 years of age, to show people how to live off the land. And because he was in London and his health did not permit him to come all the way to America. But he was coming because he said 50% of his work was not finished. He has printed the books. And the books talk about the philosophy. So the philosophy is a viable philosophy. If we distribute millions of books, but we don't show people what the books are saying, if the books talk about cow protection, but we just tell everybody, well, we don't really have any cow protection, we just talk about it, that will be very convincing. They will just think we're hypocrites. This is not a viable alternative way of life. So they won't bother to take it seriously. So therefore, it's very, very important to think about these things, to try to set aside some money for cow protection. Not for me, but to think of ways, like here in Alachua, if everybody got together, they could, because one of the reasons why people are dressed niggardly, or in India, they're very poor now, the agriculturalists, is because people don't place a proper value on milk. Because milk is the most important food. That actually, it's impossible to be healthy without proper milk products. If you read the Ayurveda, all the different attributes of milk, yogurt, ghee, buttermilk, etc., all these are very important for good health. So if we have to buy these products, which you can't even buy ghee, which is the best thing for the health. So is it any surprise that a lot of us get sick very easily? No. I don't get sick, touch wood, because I'm very fortunate. And it's very important, you know, that it says that if one, and of course, one alternative is to become a vegan. But that is not recommended, because in one of the Puranas, the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it says that one who does not take any milk products, his body is as good as stool. So, you know, whilst we lured the attempts of the vegans to, you know, it's good that they feel sorry for the state of the cows, that's good. But they won't be healthy, and they won't understand God, because milk is liquid religiosity. That by drinking milk, we get the finer brain tissues to understand God. So our children, to me it's just very sad that our children do not get the chance to see a calf. You know, my granddaughter is very lucky. She loves coming around to our farm and seeing our cows and our calf, you know, because it's very pleasing. But how many children in ISKCON get to see that? Hardly any. It's very sad. So if you really care about this, then we should try to do something about it. Because this is the future of our children. We want them to be healthy. We want them to have good brains. So therefore, the only recourse is to support cow protection and get milk from protected cows. So the whole modern lifestyle is going against this concept, because it's all about money. And we don't want to spend $15 a gallon for milk, which is what the real price of milk is. That's why the agriculturalists and the people that kept, it's not like, you know, a Vaishya is less intelligent. Nanda Maharaj wasn't less intelligent. Krishna wasn't less intelligent. They were in Vaishya families. But, you know, to be a Brahmin without supporting cow protection, you're a Brahmin in name only. I'm sorry. If you support cow protection, then you're a real Brahmin. And we have that duty. Prabhupada wanted a Brahminical culture. Sorry, I'm being very straightforward with you. I hope you'll forgive me. But I'm just trying, I believe in this very strongly. I think it's very important for ISKCON. I don't see ISKCON really going anywhere, honestly speaking. until we do these things, until we have farm communities where people are living simply off the land, protecting cows, I don't think it's going to be successful, I'm sorry. So, because we're too influenced by the whole modern culture, we don't, you know, Prabhupada wanted simple living and high thinking. He didn't want all our second generation having to go to college to get degrees, to work out there. He didn't really want that. It's not necessary. You don't have to worry about money. All you have to worry about is pleasing Krishna. If you please Krishna, He gives everything you need. I never went to college. I don't care. I don't feel inferior. I can preach to PhDs. You don't need a PhD to preach to PhDs. You just have to tell them about Krishna. That's what it's all about. You just have to tell them you're wrong. You're killing a cow. You may be a PhD, but you're going to hell. So this is the sad thing that, you know, our children, they're not being trained up to depend on Krishna. They're being trained up to depend on money. They're going to college, become a pharmacist, give people bad medicine, which is bad for them. What's the point of that? You know, we should have faith in Krishna. We should go out and preach. That's what we should be training our kids through, to go out and give people Krishna consciousness, not to go out and get a PhD and get a job. So we, you know, we're trying to show a new way of life to people. And we have to have the courage of our convictions. And it means going out on a limb. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going up to Kentucky to start a farm community. I mean, I don't know anyone up there hardly, but, you know, I believe in it. And I think it's very important. And I think that, you know, this is the only way it's going to really make a big effect on society. Because a lot of young people, they're interested in seeing a change in society. They know everything's pretty much finished as far as the environment. The economy is very, very fragile. Everything. So anyway, I'm just going to read a couple more things quickly from this book, which is a very interesting book. What is despised today by giving it the name of dung economy? It is in fact the nucleus of prosperity of the Indian people. And that is why our ancient economists have described dung as the abode of wealth and prosperity, and thereby impress upon the unique utility of dung in relation to the Indian economy. So now, of course, even in India, they use chemical fertilizers. They use tractors and chemical fertilizers. And because of that, and because of these big companies like Monsanto, a demoniac company who manufactures seeds that do not reproduce other seeds, those seeds, they're genetically engineered so that you have to buy more seeds every year. So a lot of Indian farmers, they actually commit suicide. So, you know, we had Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they had gold and so much wealth, pearls, everything else, and the modern Vaishyas that look after the cows are killing themselves. And they're riding around in tractors. And the Goshas are all tiny little places. This is a demoniac civilization. So, the best fertilizer is cow manure. And it's described how, you know, well, anyway, I'm coming to that. Hold on. I'll finish in a minute. Okay. For centuries, these are just a few aspects of the lack of traditional culture, how it's affecting modern people. Like women in India, for instance, they never used to get breast cancer. It's a new thing. But now, actually, breast cancer is on the rise because breast cancer is more prominent where women do not breastfeed children. This is a medical fact. So because in the villages in India, they go to the city, they don't want many children. Previously, they wanted children to look after the farm, to work. Not just for that, but, you know, that was one of the reasons. But now they don't have as many children. They have, like Western women, they don't want to have kids until they're 35, till they've got a big income. They're career people. So because of that, now Indian women are getting breast cancer because they don't suckle a child. For centuries, experienced midwives used to supervise their delivery and provide the necessary care as per the principles of Ayurveda in the villages at the time of birth. Ayurveda depends completely on kaumanya. Two basic aids for such a system of care were a massage of oil and a warm-up on fire lit by dung cakes. But now you can't get cow dung. It's all kerosene. Kerosene and diesel fuel. Many of the medicines have to be purified before their use, and such purification can be done only with the help of dung. Of course, as we know, in India, in the Vedas, it says how dung has antiseptic properties, that cow dung is very valuable, that they smear it in the kitchen in India. Of course, Western people, they worship the dog, and the dog, Srila Prabhupada said, has 32 types, the stool of the dog has 32 types of diseases, including diphtheria. But they like the dog, and they pick up the stool, you know, when the dog poops. But they won't touch a cow, only when it's dead so they can eat it. So, till the time our country had not resorted to animal slaughter, the rural population used to get free cow dung cakes for fuel. It may not be possible to assign any price in monetary terms to the ash which is left over after cooking on the dung cakes. However, it is very precious, and it is very useful for preservation of food grains. In olden days, the kings used to preserve jowar for their subjects for use during the years of drought. For preserving jowar, what's jowar? Anyone know? J-O-W-A-R. To last for years, equal weight of ash was mixed with, anyway, just another, you know, benefit of cows and cow dung and all that. But actually, the kings themselves, the Kshatriyas, owned and reared the cattle, and cattle wealth was the mainstay of their household finances. The kings, not just the Vaishyas. And we see the story in the Mahabharata about King Virata. He had that herd of cows that were very valuable, that gave so much milk products. And the Kauravas attacked, wanted to steal the cows, so Arjuna had to protect them. So the kings had cows. It wasn't just Vaishyas. It was everybody that had cows. And then, anyway, I'm almost done. I just want to explain a little bit. As regards the deteriorating health of our nation, due to depletion of our cattle wealth, availability of milk, and pure ghee is the only insurance for improvement. Milk is essential nourishment, and reduction of its quantum affects the people and hence the nation adversely. Listen to this carefully. Before the First World War, army recruitment required minimum 45-inch chest measurement. In other words, they used to measure the chest of the recruits to see if their chest was big enough. But during the passage of time, since more and more cows were slaughtered, reducing their milk and ghee availability to the people. Now you can't buy milk or pure ghee in India. This is very serious business. They did a survey in India recently where they examined all the milk that was on sale, and they found hardly any milk which was pure milk. Of course, buffalo's milk, a lot of the milk was cut. The ghee, you can't buy pure ghee in India. Very difficult. A lot of it's cut with animal fat. They put, you know, fat from a dead cow in there. The constitution and physique of the Indians deteriorated so that today the army has to accept recruits with a minimum 29-inch chest. So 16-inch chest size down. Because the Indians, you know, they have Kshatriyas. They're, like, if you've ever been to Jaipur, you'll see Maharaj Man Singh, if you see his armor there, He was a huge man. He must have been at least 7 feet tall and very strong. He used to fight with tigers, just a little knife. So they were powerful people. But now, you know, 29-inch chest. New Zealand consumes 1 gallon milk per capita, and hence New Zealand has proved to be the sturdiest and strongest soldier during the last World War. When it says how during the last World War, the government had to supply to the, there was a lot of New Zealand and Australian troops stationed in India because there was a lot of action. The military field in Burma and all those parts of the world. So the troops that were stationed over there used to consume, they used to kill 35,000 young animals, young cows every day to feed the troops. So, you know, this is, I mean, basically the thing is that, you know, unless we see the value of the cow and we work hard to place importance on the cow, the Hare Krishna Murmur will simply be an armchair philosophy. I'm sorry to say that. Hare Krishna. Any chastisements, corrections? Yes.
I have two questions. The first one would be,
are there any milking cows in this farm?
Huh?
Among all the cows in this farm here in the temple, are there any milking cows?
No.
They all been saved by
those old cows that are being taken care of till they die.
Okay, and so my question will be why they don't have any milking cows in this 190 something, and I'm not
criticizing. It's only 126 acres.
Okay,
and half of it is been apportioned to other uses. The reason is they don't have any young people who are interested in taking care of cows.
Can we try to, like you bring about a very important point. And so isn't it part of the leaders that bring about all these points?
Well, the leaders have to be aware of it. But
we are all aware.
You know, it's up to all of us.
We're not doing anything, like you said.
Right.
I mean, you're doing something, which is very nice.
I'm doing a little bit, not very much.
Thing
is, people, I don't know what it is. We charge $8. I mean, I'm not trying to sell our milk. We don't have any spare milk for sale anyway. But, you know, milk should be $15 a gallon. But if you charge $15, people would just think you're trying to cheat them.
Another thing that you say, I don't want to support this.
Well, you have to find somebody who's willing to do it and pay them a decent wage. I mean, basically, if people paid $15 a gallon for milk, then you would be able to support somebody to look after the cows. But looking after the cows means somebody to train oxen. People don't want to do that. They'd rather work in an office or do whatever, you know. It's not a very popular occupation because it's kind of, I can't do it myself. You know, I milk the cows quite regularly. I mean, I guess I'm a Vaishya. I don't care. Vaishnavas are supposed to be above the four Varnas, but the point is that, you know, we have to set an example. I don't want to tell people about cow protection, you know, unless I can show people, and I don't want to drink milk from slaughtered cows. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Very interesting. We need a few more classes like this. We need a few more classes like this to awaken us.
I don't think I'd be very popular if I gave class like this very often.
My question is something the milk. Like, I know in the ancient time they used to milk the cow every day and then take the fresh. But sometimes, like you buy a gallon milk, it's difficult to keep it for a long time. You know, like your method, but
right.
You know, like in the shop method, because they have these chemicals and
why
so
do you need to keep it a long time? You should use it right away. You should make yogurt. You can